So when we have so many material stimuli, temptations, attractions around us in the world today, how do we focus our mind on Krishna? It depends on what kind of material attraction it is. Sometimes this categorization, this is material, this is spiritual, it is valid, but it may not be complete. In material also, there may be mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So, or we could put it from a more devotional context, we could say something that is pro-devotional, something non-devotional, something which is anti-devotional. So, we have to find out what kind of desire it is that is attracting us or distracting us. We can't just focus on saying no to everything in this world. If that becomes our focus, then sooner or later we'll start feeling choked. So if a particular desire, the mind comes up with it, if we consider, say, this is the circle of bhakti and this is the circle of our desires, what attracts us, say, we won't be attracted to everything in the world. Say, if we are from India, we are attracted to cricket, but baseball, okay, we don't feel much attraction to that. So the mind has a circle of attraction, the circle of bhakti. So for us to steadily be situated, we want to be in the intersection. And then as we keep practicing bhakti, then these two circles start overlapping more and more. So for example, right now I like music. So I love kirtans. So I come in kirtans and participate. My mind likes it and it's also part of Krishna bhakti. And then as my relationship with Krishna starts developing, then I think, okay, that same Krishna is accessible through these kirtans, is also accessible through the philosophy, is also accessible through deity worship, is also accessible through service, is also accessible through association of devotees. So that way, what happens? The mind's circle of interest starts moving more and more to overlap with the Krishna bhakti circle. Now, where this doesn't overlap is the whole other circle. So we'll have to see, some of it will be very strongly anti-devotional. For example, something which involves breaking of the four regulative principles. That is something which you have to say a strong no to. If that is not anti-devotional, if it is just non-devotional or it is pro-devotional, say, if I have the desire to learn a particular musical instrument, that may not be directly devotional if it's a more of a modern kind of instrument, but it may be usable in future in devotional service. That's pro-devotional. If something is non-devotional, then say I have a desire to learn more. If I am a student, I have a desire to learn more about my subject, learn some, read this book, that book. It may not be needed strictly for my academics, but that's what I like to do. So that may be non-devotional, but that may be relevant for my future career or my profession, or just a matter of my interest. So I'll have to see how much time it takes, how much of a consumption of consciousness happens by that, and how much it distracts me. We can't reject all the desires, just calling them as material. We have to categorize even the material and see how they interact with the spiritual. Normally, if we get the urge to scratch, say, I feel like scratching. I scratch it and it's over. Normal skin, if I scratch it, there's no big problem with it. But if I have a disease, I have a rash, and then I scratch it, then that rash worsens, and I scratch it again, and it worsens. And then that becomes a disease. So we have certain desires which are already like our attachments, or which are already on the direction of becoming obsessive. And those are indulging in those desires is like scratching a rash, a diseased skin. There we have to be very careful. But as I said, some circumstantial desires may not be very harmful. You know, like I desire to eat something. Okay, if it is offered to Krishna, it's prasad, you can just take it and move on. So, in the world where we have temptations around us, the most aggressively bombarded temptations are often those which are anti-devotional. But if we find a way in which we can situate ourselves in this intersection of what our mind likes, and what is the circle of Krishna bhakti, then that gives us a healthy sense of pleasure. And that healthy pleasure can help us to resist the allurements of the unhealthy pleasures. And what is in between, we can process and act appropriately. Does it answer your question? Thank you.